If you have been listening to the show over the last year, you have heard my message about Tampa Counseling and Wellness in the beginning of each show. It is now time to interview their incredible staff here at TCW. A big shout out to Carlos and his staff for all the amazing work they are doing here in the Tampa community, in virtual visits, and of course, their continuous support of the show. Welcome back to A Mental Health Break. My name is Vincent A. Lancey, and I am your host. Dallas Tracy is a therapist who regularly talks during session, frequently providing feedback and perspective to help guide you in developing your own opinion and reflections for your life. She is passionate and trained in mind-body-spirit connection by utilizing techniques such as Emdra, brain spotting, and meditative yoga practices. In your sessions with Dallas, all parts of you will be incorporated. Your emotional needs, beliefs, physical symptoms of struggles, spiritual aspects, everything will be addressed in her sessions, and her overall training has provided her the opportunity to work with all types of individuals who are struggling and desire to grow in various areas. She is particularly passionate about working with trauma survivors, adolescents, college students, young adults, and female entrepreneurs. Let's kick it off. Dallas, what does mental health mean to you?
Hi, yeah, so mental health to me means how do I feel towards myself and all of the thoughts and feelings that live within me. So being literal, like how healthy is that, right? Like how healthy is that internal communication? So do I speak to myself, feel towards myself in a compassionate, nurturing way? Can I see myself as a work in progress and acknowledge that everyone around me is doing the same? Or on the other hand, how hard am I being on myself in my areas of growth? So, you know, essentially I view mental health as this internal garden with living emotions and thoughts that create a really diverse and beautiful landscape full of like life experiences.
I love what you said, and being hard on ourselves, I think it's something we all struggle with. Can you give a quick tip to our audience here, maybe a beginning step they can take if they're being really hard on themselves?
You know, really just hitting pause. If you're catching this, like with a lot of therapists, we use the word like inner critic, right? So oftentimes it'll sound like your mom or your dad or whoever raised you, and like their criticism or judgment towards things, you know, in your childhood. And eventually that voice, their voice, becomes our own voice, which can look like our inner critic. So really just pausing and thinking like, whose voice is this? And is this my perspective on how I'm doing or how I'm, you know, like criticizing like how well I'm doing in this one area of life or how I'm handling it or even how I'm feeling? And, you know, try to redirect, like, is it my voice or is it my mom's voice or my dad's voice? So just taking a pause and letting that kind of sit in.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that and kicking off the show. Now, please introduce yourself on a personal side to our audience, and then we're going to dive right back into mental health talk.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a registered mental health intern in the state of Florida. You know, like you said, I'm really passionate about working with trauma survivors, adolescents, college students, young adults. My role relating to mental health is essentially holding space for healing as a trained therapist. And so many of my clients come from backgrounds filled with childhood trauma that has essentially gone unresolved for really, like a really, really long time, typically years. And so to begin that processing of creating safety and emotional stability, we start to work towards actually reprocessing that trauma. And so that's something that I'm personally and professionally really well versed in.
Yeah, I can see that. You're very passionate about what you do. Is there a reason that you got attracted to these areas working within mental health, or what led you to focusing on these areas?
Yeah, so, I mean, personally, working through my own trauma with my own therapist was really instrumental. Growing up, I was the kid who, like, my parents really relied on, my siblings really relied on, and so supporting everyone around me emotionally. And so those skills, you know, maladaptive maybe then, but very adaptive now in my career, now that I'm trained and, like, you know, there's boundaries surrounding it. But yeah, I mean, personally going through my own trauma experience and healing from that and seeing the power of what it's like to sit with a therapist who has this just unconditional, like, positive look on you, despite what you're going through, despite, you know, your negative core beliefs, despite your emotional dysregulation, despite how hard you are on yourself. Yeah, I had a really, really great therapist in college who, he said, like, do you see how hard you've worked? And, you know, he really helped me recognize how far I had come in becoming who I am, recognizing, you know, my areas of growth, but also recognizing, yeah, exactly what he said, like how far I had come, you know, at 22 years old. Like, I felt like that was one of the first times I had ever heard that in that way. So,
well, I appreciate you sharing that. And it's great to see how far you've come now, crushing it here at TCW.
Yeah.
Let's now dive right into explaining more about Tampa Counseling and Wellness. They are dedicated to helping individuals looking to positively transform their lives through compassionate counseling and wellness coaching. If you struggle with depression, anxiety, or other mental health issues, give them a call today for a free consultation. It's Therapy That Inspires Change. And scroll down in the episode description to find their phone number and website. Dallas, and the patients you treat, what type of mental health disparities do you come across the most to resonate with our audience?
Yeah, so I would say majority of my clients are coming in with, you know, if I were to give a diagnosis, generalized anxiety, major depression, you know, mild depression. But I think because I've established a lot of skills in treating trauma, I would say about 75% of my clients come in with like a out the gate PTSD diagnosis, whether it's complex PTSD or just, you know, general PTSD. Like, there's a lot of overlap there. And so I would say I mostly treat PTSD, but with PTSD comes anxiety and comes depression. So they all kind of interconnect.
Would you be able to describe to our audience, you mentioned a few different types of PTSDs right there, to maybe educate us as well?
Yeah, so technically in the DSM, PTSD is the only, you know, that's the only diagnosis for post-traumatic stress. But there is, like, a more, I guess not a trendier, but in the therapy world, complex PTSD is also used to describe like chronic trauma. So, and it can be several different types of trauma. They are essentially the same thing. And if a therapist or, you know, like a mental health provider is diagnosing you with a post-traumatic stress disorder, like that's exactly what they're diagnosing you with. They're not gonna distinguish between complex or just, you know, PTSD itself, because complex PTSD is technically not a diagnostic, a code.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, you're teaching me something already.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And everyone listening on, what a great episode she is delivering so far. And now I want to backtrack a bit with you. You mentioned you had a transformational moment with your therapist, helped you go far. Is that the moment that led you into mental health advocacy to do this for a career, or describe that for our audience?
Yeah. So, like I said, I had a pretty kick-ass therapist when I was completing my undergraduate degree, and that kind of kicked things off for me. I mean, there were a couple of years where I just struggled, and like, who really knows their self at like 22 years old when you graduate, you know, college, and it's like, okay, well now it's, you know, now go figure it out from here on out. And that was a hard transition for me. But within like that next year after graduating from my undergrad, I realized like, okay, so some of my strengths are here. A lot of my values are here. Like where, like when it comes down to like, where do I get my value and fulfillment from? And it really was like working one-on-one with people, and mostly, you know, friends, but just like supporting them emotionally, being really interested in like mental health and self-care and that type of thing. And so it was the looking inward process for me, and like allowing other people to do that alongside me felt really authentic and felt really natural. And so I started looking into grad programs, and that's really how, I mean, that's essentially how it got started.
Similar to me, after my accident, I went to grad school. I knew I wanted more out of life. I didn't know what more was. And I did learn so much about myself in grad school, including that I wasn't really meant to be behind the finance desk that I always worked for. And now, into the author realm, the podcast host, giving back with some purpose-driven work. And I get to connect with awesome people like you.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that story.
Absolutely.
I now want to have you offer some advice to our audience, Dallas, whether it's short-term or long-term tactics. What are some ways our audience can start improving their mental health?
Yeah, so I really, really like this question. So short term would be to invest in your like places, spaces, and faces is what I that's not original. Like I got that from someone. I just can't remember where I heard that, probably another podcast. But so yeah, like investing in your spaces, places, and faces where your emotional needs are being nurtured. So, you know, similar to when you're hearing that inner critic, like maybe, you know, take a pause and really reflect on the areas in your life where you feel heard, seen, and accepted. And so that doesn't have to be all three, but at least one to two of those, right? Like I'm either heard or seen and feel accepted, or just even simply accepted can get really go a long way. And then lean into those like when possible. Yeah, navigating what our emotional needs are and then finding places, spaces, and faces that can meet those and is vital in my experience. Personally, and then professionally working with my clients, I would say like that is a core tenet of what we're trying to do, you know, in my individual work with them is leaning into those relationships or, you know, even the spaces that they create within themselves. Like how, you know, how do you talk to yourself? Like, is it hard for you to like hear and see yourself as you are and love yourself despite that, you know, despite, you know, the ways that you're wanting to grow or working to heal and then accepting that?
Recognizing where our strengths and weaknesses are, building on our weaknesses, such great advice, and self-reflection, I think, is so key in this world, especially somewhat post-COVID. We're moving very fast again, and we have to remember to take care of ourselves, reflect. Such amazing advice there.
So, you know, one of the long-term things that I would, you know, suggest anyone who's wanting to improve their overall mental health would be over time to really master the skill of self-compassion. And a lot of people don't really understand what self-compassion is, and I really didn't either until, you know, I did some reading and researching. And so the person who is like the self-compassion guru essentially in the mental health world, her name's Kristen Neff. And so I'm just going to read like her definition of what self-compassion is. So self-compassion is extending compassion to oneself in instances of perceived inadequacy, failure, or general suffering. And so she breaks that down into like basically three main elements. So that would be self-kindness, common humanity, and mindfulness. And if you just Google self-compassion, Kristen Neff, her last name is N-E-F-F, then like there's a million resources on it. And it's really intriguing if you're wanting to really hone in and on that an inner voice and how you talk to yourself and just harnessing that over time, I find has been really life-changing for myself and also my clients.
Everyone listening on, be sure to go out there, Google it, self-compassion, Kristen, N-E-F-F. You mentioned three areas there, self-kindness, common humanity, mindfulness. They may seem like common words, but we may be misreading what they mean and how we can attack them. Would you mind explaining what each of those means?
Starting with the first one, self-kindness. So, you know, that one is a little bit more self-explanatory rather than the common humanity or the mindfulness. But, you know, essentially, like, we are, like, if we're able to recognize that we're imperfect, like, failing human beings, right? Like, we all know that. And so we cannot always be or get exactly what we want out of, like, our daily life, out of our career. Like, there's different things that fulfill us and there are things that don't fulfill us. And so where self-kindness comes through is, like, this reality that we can accept, you know, sympathy and kindness towards ourselves, like greater emotional, you know, like attunement. And so really just like recognizing like, I'm not perfect. This kind of sucks right now and that's okay. And like, it is what it is. Can I be warm and understanding towards myself despite the reality of the situation? And then, you know, common humanity, a little bit harder to explain, but essentially this understanding that every single human on this planet suffers, right? Like that is just,
like that.
It's so true, especially, I mean, you know, like we're recording this in the end of June and, you know, 2022 and like things are really tense right now and there's a lot of division. And so, sometimes we can feel like we're the only person suffering or that we're suffering worse than everyone around us or not even suffering, but just like, we're not like, we're just screwing up more than everyone else around us and us acknowledging that like, you know, the self-compassionate parts of us, like our own personal inadequacies is a shared human experience. And so it's something that we all go through together. And the more we're transparent and open about it, the more like embracing we can be of that towards ourselves. And so, you know, that would be, you know, the common humanity aspect. And then mindfulness, everyone describes mindfulness a little bit differently. But mindfulness essentially in self-compassion work looks like, what are my emotions? Where are they coming from? Really just like giving language and labeling what you're feeling, where it's coming from, what you can do about it. If you can do something about it, it's not judgmental. It's very embracing of like, oh, this really sucks. I feel scared. I feel angry. Like, how can I sit with that? How can I be okay with that? And just really like letting it be instead of trying to shove it away and like put it into a box and, you know, save it for a rainy day, because that rainy day is never going to come because we're never going to want to open that box. So, yeah, I hope that answers your question.
Absolutely incredible. Be sure to stick around to the end of the episode to find out how to get in touch with Dallas. And I think it is now a great time to get into the spotlight story. Normally, we would go over the mental health of someone who is famous to let you, the listeners, know you are not alone. But this week, as we have the opportunity to learn from our incredible guest, we're going to go over an article from EMDR.org going over what is EMDR therapy. Eye movement desensitization and reprocessing therapy is an extensively researched, effective psychotherapy method proven to help people recover from trauma and other distressing life experiences, PTSD, anxiety, depression, and panic disorders, to name a few. There are many organizations around the world who recognize this as an effective treatment, including the APA, International Society for Traumatic Stress Studies, and NAMI. But you may be asking yourself, how is EMDR therapy different from other therapies? This therapy does not require talking in detail about the distressing issue or completing homework between sessions. This therapy, however, focuses on changing the emotions, thoughts, and behaviors resulting from the distressing issue, allowing the brain to resume its natural healing process. It is designed to resolve unprocessed traumatic memories in the brain, and for many clients, this therapy can be completed in fewer sessions than other psychotherapies. I'll now end this write-up with how does this therapy affect the brain, and then we're going to bring Dallas back on to educate us quite a bit. Our brains have a natural way to recover from traumatic memories and events. This process involves communication between the amygdala?
Amygdala.
The amygdala, mm-hmm. Which is the alarm signal for stressful events. The hippocampus, which assists with learning, including memories about safety and danger, and the prefrontal cortex, which analyzes and controls behavior and emotion. Love these articles, Dallas, because I get to learn a little bit each week. Yeah. I do them. While many times traumatic experiences can be managed and resolved spontaneously, they may not be processed without the help. Dallas, what are your takeaways from all this information?
Yeah, so I am actually trained in EMDR. So pretty passionate about EMDR, and there are a lot of memes in the therapy world where if you are a therapist trained in EMDR, you will almost immediately find that out because we're very passionate about it. It was one of the therapies that I tried with my therapist when I was doing my own trauma work, and trauma work just meaning like, okay, so we can talk about my anxiety, but at some point we have to talk about where my anxiety came from. And, you know, for me personally, that was like childhood things. So, you know, we tried out EMDR and it was instrumental in me healing. And so, you know, in grad school, really wanting to like prioritizing getting EMDR trained at some point. And I did that, you know, about a year ago, and I use EMDR several times a week, like at least once a day in a session with a client. So really passionate about it. I find that, yeah, you don't have to talk about all the nitty gritty, like awful details of, you know, your traumatic experience. You can go into it having kind of like, there's structure set in place. There's goals of like, these are specific memories that I want to target, and we're not erasing the memories through EMDR. We're simply decreasing the intensity of the emotion. So like when you think back to a traumatic memory and it's like, oof, like rather not, I don't want to go back there. I can't do anything about it, right? Like we have all these feelings towards it. And so EMDR is a really great tool that we can use as therapists with our clients to just decrease that, like, ugh, I hate it, like, I don't want to think about it, just like intense avoidance of the traumatic experience. And so it's pretty great that, you know, we have a tool that doesn't require all the details in order to get to that place. So, yeah.
thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Everyone listening on, if you're struggling right now and you're trying to find a new way to heal, this could be for you.
Yeah.
Dallas, I have to ask you right now, while I thank you so much for an incredible show from start to finish, starting with hitting the pause button all the way down here to going over EMDR therapy, where can everybody find you, request your services, or say hello?
Yeah, so my Instagram is at Dig Deep with Dal. And then I don't have my own website, but we have our Tampa Counseling and Wellness website. So you can find me on there. I'm also in Psychology Today. You can just Google Dallas Tracy, and my last name is T-R-E-S-E. And we can get connected that way.
Everybody listening on, be sure to reach out. And we are at Vincent A. Lancey and at a Mental Health Break on all social media and YouTube. Mental Health Week and Mr. Lancey Talks Mental Health are on Amazon now with the latest mental health book on the way. Stay tuned. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next Tuesday on another episode of A Mental Health Break. Dallas, thank you so much once again.
Thank you. Yeah, this is fun.